Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, America.
Football is back, America.
Oh yeah, guess who else is back? 12 Man Sports. Here we go, Rob, you ready?
Let's get it going, Doc.
12 Man. 12 Man.
That's DJ Dre dropping the beats.
Yeah. My time is now. I love it, Rob. You got to come out, you know, prepared, man. I mean, we got a big night tonight. You know, obviously NFL football starting. 12 Man is on the air. Oh man, let's get this party started. As always, welcome everyone to another With the Not Normal edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Wednesday, as I mentioned before, September the 5th. And Andre Peterson joined by Robert Ford, as always. And let me set the table, as I always do, each Wednesday night show. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, NFL kicks off. We're going to talk about that. And it's currently on with the Giants versus Cowboys. We'll talk about some baseball. Baltimore, the Orioles are making moves in the AL East. Can they actually win it over the Yankees? We're going to talk about some college football. That was another big weekend as well. Does Alabama deserve to be over USC in the polls? We got some NFL Players Association news. Ravens safety Bernard Pollard talking some junk. Tyrann Mathieu, will he actually stay at LSU? We got some AFC predictions, the NFC Championship Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about the 12th Man Fantasy Sports League. We got a lot of things to jump into. Robert Ford, as always, how you doing, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Just excited to have some real football, none of this preseason stuff going on. Now the only thing I'm hoping for is we get a new contract for the referees so we can get rid of these replacement refs. And so that's the next thing I'm hoping for during this football season. I'm hoping that happens rather quickly and sooner rather than later.
Actually, they haven't been doing that bad of a job tonight, but like I said, it is one game. So, but like you said, we definitely want to get the regular guys in, and that's one of those situations where you know this – you never miss up until it's gone. So NFL refs, we actually miss you guys. So we're going to show you guys a lot of love. So let's jump right into this. For those that want to call into the show, the number to call in, it is a free call. It's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to check us out and also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The actual tag for that is at the number 12 Man Sports. And via, like I said, like our Facebook page, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So let's talk about some baseball here. We're jumping to a lot of football. Obviously, we'll talk about the game that's currently on right now. About 5 minutes left with Dallas and New York Giants, and Dallas is actually up 17-10. But let's talk about some Baltimore.
And as we speak, DeMarco Murray is running all over the Giants here, getting into field goal range here. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. So I guess let's talk some baseball. Let's just get this out of the way. And it seems like the Yankees let a 10-game lead evaporate. And obviously, I don't know, this could be a wake-up call for the Yankees. Actually, I think they're actually up by one game. They just beat the Orioles tonight. But being a Yankees fan, are you kind of shaking your boots, or you just think this is kind of a wake-up call for them?
Well, yeah, I think it's kind of a wake-up call. I mean, the Orioles have been playing fantastic baseball here. Over the last month, since June 28th, the Orioles have the best record in baseball with a 24-10 record, led by their starting ace pitcher, Zach Britton. And I tell you, Britton has probably the nastiest slider of any pitcher in baseball right now. He's got four straight starts. He's got an ERA of 0.94, which is unheard of here in his last four starts. And you just got to give him credit. And I got a gut feeling that both of these teams will be in the playoffs here. Whoever wins the division, of course, and then the other one is going to be a wild card. And the Orioles, like I said, are just playing fantastic. Last night they got a 12-0 victory against Toronto, just straight up shut out the Blue Jays. And once again, you give credit where credit is due. And my gut tells me that the Yankees are going to still find a way to actually pull a division out. But I look at this Orioles team as being a wild card team this coming season. They continue to play the way they're playing.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well, as you mentioned. Obviously, they're getting a lot of confidence, so that definitely helps them. And for the Yankees, they're actually playing some of the worst teams kind of in this last stretch: Minnesota, playing Toronto, and they're going to play Boston. As we know, Boston continues their slide as well. So, you know, like you said, the Yankees, they definitely have opportunity to kind of, you know, obviously play their history out, but Baltimore is going to be right there, as you mentioned.
And you mentioned the Yankees won tonight with a win over Tampa Bay, so they move one game ahead of the Orioles tonight. So the Orioles fell to Toronto tonight 6-4, and the Yankees get a win by the same score, 6-4, over Tampa Bay. So they're back to a one-game lead. And like I said, I just think the Yankees will be able to close this out down the stretch here in this last month of the season. But the Orioles will be right there for the wild card.
Yep, good deal. All right, let's talk about some college football. Obviously, last week was pretty awesome because we got some football back. For those that love college football, it's definitely the religion of the South. And Alabama, they actually topped USC in the polls. And I guess the question that we're going to pose out there to everyone that's listening and kind of get your thoughts, does Alabama deserve to be number one? And I'm going to take this one, Rob, and I definitely think the answer is yes, only because of the opponent that they played. Obviously, Michigan, there's a great play for you, Rob. Looks like Miles Austin scored, so for fantasy, you're good to go for that, too.
Woo-hoo!
But,
there you go. Right. Miles Austin.
little fantasy talk there. But real quick, I think Alabama deserves to be number one because they played a ranked team in number eight, Michigan. And, you know, Michigan was ranked. Obviously, this is a top 10 team. They pretty much dismantled them. And whether Michigan kind of got lost in the moment, whatever. But a good win by Alabama. They thoroughly, thoroughly dominated them with a 41-14 win. Nod Robinson did not play his best game. Obviously, maybe he got caught up in the lights with that. So I think that's why they deserved it. And obviously, USC played a lesser unranked team in Hawaii, and that's no slouch to them, obviously. But just, you know, obviously Hawaii was not as ranked. So that's why I think Alabama gets the nod at that number one spot.
I would have to agree with you there. I think out of the games that I've seen this past weekend, I was most impressed with Alabama. And I think the polls got it right here. I think out of the top five teams, the team that I was least impressed with was Oklahoma. And I don't think they played that well against a UTEP ball club, only winning 24-7. And so they were the team I was least impressed with. But Alabama was definitely the team that I was most impressed with. I think they were ferocious. They were attacking. And I think we're going to find out if Michigan is overrated or not here in the next couple of weeks here. I'm a little, you know, I'm kind of getting that feeling a little bit, but I'm also thinking that Alabama still was the most impressive team. I was definitely, even though USC played Hawaii, I was still impressed. And I'll be honest, I'm a big LSU fan, and I was not impressed with LSU's performance this past weekend, even though they won 41-14 over North Texas. And it looks like they have some cleaning up to do. And I was not overly impressed with LSU's performance. And Oregon, of course, played a cupcake as well. But I think dropping Oklahoma to five and moving Alabama up to number one was the right picks by the pollsters for this weekend. And so I think it's the rankings in the top five is correct, as they are: Alabama one, USC two, LSU three, and Oregon 4, Oklahoma 5.
All of my Michigan fans, don't forget to send your emails to robert@12thmansports.com as well if you want to get your feedback as far as them being overrated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hit me up. I'm ready to battle with you all up there in Michigan. You know, I was actually pulling for you all to beat Alabama, but I have to give Alabama a lot of credit. But Michigan's going to have to prove me wrong. I'm starting to think they're a little bit overrated. And you and I made our Big Ten predictions on last week. I went with Wisconsin, even though most people were predicting Michigan to win the Big Ten this year. I still like Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
All my Alabama fans, go ahead and email Robert@12thmansports.com as well if you want to get your feedback in there as well. So, you know.
Go Tigers.
Here we go.
And we spell
go
GEAUX.
You love it. This is real quick, and I know we're going to talk about some NFL right now, but once again, those who want to call in and definitely give your thoughts, the number to call in is 424-243-9519. And real quick, as I digress, we're going to talk about some NFL. Dallas just scored They're up 24-10 over the Giants, and I think a lot of people were picking the Giants in this game. And this is one of the situations. I was very cautious about this pick, and Cowboys are definitely they're definitely proving something too. So this is very interesting. You know, maybe Giants are kind of in that kind of like post Super Bowl mode, but it's going to be interesting to see them try to come back. I don't think they're going to pull this out with 5 minutes left to go. So we'll see how that plays out as well. So.
Yeah, you got to give the Cowboys credit here. They've really come to play tonight. They played well, and for the most part, really dominated this football game in all phases for the most part of this game. I mean, Romo had the interception early. They ran the interception back to about the 5-yard line, but once again, the Dallas defense came up big there on the goal line and held the Giants only 3 points there. So that was a huge defensive stop. To kind of set the tone a little bit, and from there, Dallas has pretty much dominated his game. So you got to give him a lot of credit. And, you know, I think this is about our 9th or 10th year where the NFL has opened up the season here, either on a Wednesday or Thursday night. First time on a Wednesday night, actually, but it has been on a Thursday night. The NFL moved it to Wednesday due to President Barack Obama's speech tomorrow night. But every defending Super Bowl champion has always won this game. And so as it looks right now, it looks like the Giants will be the first one to lose this opening night game since the NFL started doing this about 9-10 years ago.
Yeah, very interesting. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's still about 5 minutes left to go. Thus far, it's a miracle, but we'll see how it plays out. We have some big NFL Players Association news. Robert, I'll let you tackle this as far as, you know, if they want to kind of get a little restraining order as far as for the suspended players. I'll let you kind of tackle this and talk about what's going on with this this front.
Well, you know, this story, of course, is never ending. You know, ever since March when the news of this so-called bounty, you know, broke out. But the NFLPA filed a motion for a restraining order on a suspension for Will Smith, Scott Fujita, and Anthony Hargrove. And, of course, you know, the arguments were heard in court today. And so both the NFLPA and the NFL has to get back to the judge by 12 noon tomorrow. And basically what the judge is looking for from the NFLPA, they want to know, is it fair for the attorneys to represent the NFLPA as well as the attorneys, as well as the players in the situation. And they also want to hear from the NFL, why haven't the NFL been fair in the process of negotiation and reducing these player suspensions? And so that's what the judge wants to hear back from them on this. So it sounds as though the judge is going to be really disappointed on the lack of fairness that the NFL has compiled. I look for a ruling on this to come down tomorrow, sometime afternoon tomorrow. I believe the judge is either going to waive these suspensions altogether, or are they going to specifically ask the NFL to reduce some of these suspensions on his players, that is. So I look for something like that to happen tomorrow afternoon. I could be wrong, but that's my prediction. I'm going to stick with it. It sounds as though the judge is kind of fed up with the NFL not being fair toward these players and reducing these suspensions.
I think the judge may be a Saints fan, but no confirming or denying that. So we'll see how things plays out.
Well, you know, we don't know that for a fact, but, you know, based on all the evidence and the sources that I've talked to regarding the situation, and, you know, and I said this from the very beginning, and I think a lot of stuff is starting to come out to, you know, really prove that this is a total overreaction by the NFL on the way they handle this whole situation. And interesting enough, the New Orleans Times-Picayune newspaper just did an interview with Sean Payton. And, you know, it's. I just think the NFL, it's specifically here I'm referring to Roger the Dictator Goodell. And I just think he's very arrogant. I think he has no respect for the NFLPA. I believe he's got no respect for the NFL coaches. I believe he's got no respect for the NFL referees. And I believe he's got no respect to the fans.
Wow, strong words coming from Robert Ford. Now, obviously, you know, we talk about how you are a Saints fan, so obviously you have a little bit more towards Roger Goodell. So we'll see how that plays out. So, like I said, it's interesting. I've
had conversations here in the last few days regarding this specific topic, and I know it may be coming from a Saints fan, but I've heard this specific conversations from other people who have no interest in following the Saints. So I'm not the only one to feel this way.
Wow. Strong words. So hopefully we'll try to get Roger Goodell on the show, try to defend himself. So we'll see if that plays out.
Rob, ready to challenge you, Goodell.
Rob wants no part of that. That's funny. No, well, like I said, good deal, good deal. Yeah, we'll see how everything plays out, too. So thank you, Rob, for checking on that, too. We got about 14 minutes left for the show. Once again, if you have any questions, tweet us, Facebook us, all that fun stuff. And we're going to keep it going here. We're going to talk about some interesting comments from Ravens safety Bernard Pollard, basically sending a warning out to second-year player A.J. Green, who is a very, very talented receiver from Cincinnati, and pretty much telling him, you know, don't go across the middle. Is that what he's trying to say, Rob?
That's basically what he told him, A.J. Green. If you come across the middle, we're going to give you a beat down. We're going to give you a smack down. And here we go again. This is it all goes back to this so-called bounty stuff. And players have been talking like this for years in the NFL. But yet somehow one team somehow gets penalized for tough talk. And it's just mind-boggling to me. This kind of talk, we're going to go out and hit people in the mouth. You know, this stuff has been going on in the NFL for years. You know, it's been going on for years. And here we go with something like this comes up again. And, you know, I'm not saying that the guy should be getting penalized. I mean, I personally don't think he should be penalized. I just think this is tough football talk. You know, this is what football players do. I don't think he has any ill intent of hurting A.J. Green or doing anything intentionally. He just says when you come across the middle, we want you to pay for it. We want to give you a remember me shot.
Well, that's okay. But see, this is where we're going to cross the line. Now, like you said, the talk is fine. But let's say that somebody put some money on, hey Bernard, I'll give you $10,000 if you knock him out of the game. That's when we're talking about something different. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to physically do something that's, you know, if there's some physical stuff as far as, you know, the whole system that happened with, you know, back with Buddy Ryan and stuff like that. And that, you know, that's kind of a different, you know, it is kind of a situation where you're kind of getting to the point where you're crossing the line. Now, if you're the NFL, you have to protect the shield. That's what we're talking about. You know, we got a lot of heat as far as concussions, a lot of things going wrong with a lot of these former players that are upset about how they're being treated right now. So what the NFL is trying to do, they're trying to protect these players now, also so that things are going to happen in the future. So, I mean, even if, like I said, you know, unfortunately, the Saints are definitely paying for something that the whole league, you know, it definitely engages in. And as far as, you know, there's some tough talk, there's a lot of things like that goes on even now. But what Roger's probably trying to do is like, all right, let me nip this in the bud. Even if this is going on, we got to stop this. We got to protect the shield. We got to make sure that moving forward, all these concussions, spearing, bad hits, stuff like that, that has no place for the league. We don't want to injure our players and knock them out, so that way you're messing up somebody's livelihood. That's all I'm saying. And like you said, I agree. It's okay to talk some, you know, talk some tough talk. Don't come across the middle, you know. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get hit. But whenever you're cross line, if you talk about, you know, paying for somebody to actually knock this guy out or holding somebody up or targeting the ACL or targeting different pieces, you know, little things like that. That's where you got to be very, very careful, sir.
Oh, I totally agree with you. But we have no proof of evidence of anyone paying someone to do something of that nature. And so I totally agree with you. There's no place for bounties or paying for somebody to get injured. And but yet we have no evidence of anything like that ever occurring.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting. So actually, I don't know if you had a chance. Obviously, all of my Saints fans and everyone that live in the New Orleans area, there was an interesting interview with Bobby Hebert that we actually heard here, and it was a couple weeks ago, I want to say. And it's pretty interesting because, you know, he had a nice little thing about the whole situation, and I'm taking a piece of it, but it was interesting because, you know, he basically said, it's pretty funny because, you know, we were talking about all these bounties, and he says, you know what, you actually wanted to have a bounty because you felt like you were a good player. So if you didn't have a bounty on yourself, you probably felt like you were sorry. He's like, you know, I actually wanted somebody to say, yeah, take this guy out because that means you were doing something good. And it brought out the competitiveness in you. So it's kind of funny how he actually flipped the script you know, everyone was kind of talking about, hey, this was kind of bad. He's like, you know what, actually, you wanted somebody to actually try to take you out because that meant that you were a good enough player. If you didn't, nobody really cared about you, you know, it didn't really matter. So, you know, he's kind of interesting. I know that's probably not what you wanted to hear, Rob, but it was pretty funny coming from him to actually say something like that, too. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Brett Favre actually said, Brett Favre made the comment. He says, hey, man, people have had bounties on me since I've been in the league. I mean, he just shook it off like it was nothing. He says, hey, I've had bounties on me just about every game I played in the NFL. The opposite team has had a bounty on me. And
gotcha,
straight out of Brett Favre's mouth.
That's pretty funny, yeah. So, like you said, I mean, we're obviously lighthearted. And you know, like I said, Rob, I don't really think that Bernard Pollard said he was going to take out, you know, Adrian Van Hinnepart. I think he said he's going to, you know, according to the new rules, he said he's going to give him a big bear hug, you know, once he comes across the middle. You know, but not too tight, just kind of a big bear hug, kind of hug him and make sure everything is going good, too. So I just wanted to clean that up for Mr. Pollard, too. So it's something to think about.
Yeah, I think he thought about what happened this past offseason. He tried to retract the statement a little bit.
Yeah, we got about 9 minutes or so left in the show, and we're still going to talk about some interesting news. We're kind of jumping back and forth here. I'm going to give you the option. I mean, you want to talk about the Mr. Honey Badger, or you want to talk about some Fantasy League updates?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. As we all know, Matthew he enrolled back in fall classes at LSU on yesterday. So the question and debate is, will LSU reinstate him?
Uh-oh.
And my answer to that question is, yes, they will,
yes,
but not this year.
Woo-hoo.
It will be next football season in 2013. And I have to give the young man some credit here. He's taking the time out to try to get his life straight. He's going to the John Lucas Drug Rehab Program in Houston. And, you know, he could have easily, I mean, there were over 20 to 30-something schools that contacted LSU about Tyrann Mathieu, about him transferring to their school. And Tyrann Mathieu could have easily transferred to a Division I AA school and played immediately. And but the young man and his family got together, and they decided the best thing for him to do was to get his life straight right now. Let's not concentrate on football. Let's get cleaned up here. Let's go to the John Lucas Center in Houston, who we all know, you know, who also struggled with drugs while he played in the NBA. Now he has one of the world-renowned drug programs for athletes, both on a professional and college level. And so Mathieu has re-enrolled there. He's enrolled there as well as he's back in school at LSU. So if he does everything cleanly, you know, with the drug program, keep his grades up to par, which his grades has not been a problem since he's been at LSU, and I think they will really reinstate him next fall. And like I said, you got to give the young man some credit. He could have easily went to a Division I AA school and still could have got drafted next year. But he's concentrating on getting his life straight.
Yeah, like you said, I definitely agree with you, man. That's definitely an excellent move, you know, by him. And this just shows a lot of maturity. And I think it's going to definitely bode well for his status, his stock in the NFL, because you know, for him to actually admit to he has a problem, and to really kind of face it, and, you know, maybe obviously take a year off, and he's still going to train to do everything that's going to get prepared. But next year, maybe it'll go to make him a better player, better person, and also a better football player, which is all that you can ever hope for these young men too. So, like you said, I agree with you. Give him a lot of credit, a good support system with his family to help him to realize, you know, this is probably the best move for him, and not just, you know, just play football and kind of get by, as most people would normally do. So I give him a lot of credit. And like I said, I'm looking forward to, you know, and obviously if you weren't a Honey Badger fan before, now you probably are a bigger fan, because you can definitely see that he's done everything to kind of better himself as a person too.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. It definitely shows a lot of maturity on his part.
Good deal. All right, guys, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. So for those that want to call in, it's not too late, guys. It's not too late to give us your thoughts, give us your opinions, tweet us, all that fun stuff. Once again, for those that want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. And also follow us via Twitter at the number 12, THManSports. And also follow us on Facebook at Talking Sports 12th Man. We got a lot of things going on with that. Let's talk about
just a quick update on the score real quick. The Giants have just scored here, so it's now a 24-17 game with Dallas leading about 2.5 minutes to go here in the ball game.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's a great play. It looks like Eli hit Bennett for a touchdown. So, yeah, we'll see how everything plays out. They're not quite finished yet, so we'll keep an eye on that score as well as your station. We're updating you guys as everything goes around. But real quick, Rob, let's talk about our 12-man fantasy sports leagues, for any updates for those. And obviously we just had our fantasy draft this past Tuesday for 12-man. We're excited about that. Got a college pick'ems going on. We got our college survival, our pro survival as well. A lot of things going on. Give us a quick update about that, sir.
Well, basically, we're just going to give you a little congrats on winning the first week of the college pick'em. It looks like you're the only one that had a winning record and went 12-8. You're standing alone in first place. And, of course, we had a great fantasy draft on last night. And of course, we're now survival football just starting here. So it should be really interesting. And so every week we plan to just give some kudos and congrats to whoever's in first place and just give some shout-outs to the previous week winners and whoever's in first place in all of our 12-man sports fantasy leagues, which is fantasy football, survival football, and our college pick'em.
Call my sports line, 1-800-ANDRE-WINS, for those that want to figure out as far as I'm picking games. I got the winners. I got stats. I got everything for you guys. 12, I'm winning. What?
America, he had one lucky week. Don't buy into that.
In the words of Charlie Sheen, winning.
He had one lucky week, America.
How was that lucky, man? What was my record, man? I was 12-8 or something like that. That's pretty good for the first week. I definitely.
I give you kudos.
Everyone picked Penn State. I picked Ohio. I think I called that upset. You know, a couple things that were kind of touch and go, but. I'm not trying to gloat by any means. It was definitely I got fortunate. Just decided to make some good picks, and we'll keep it going, man. So we'll see how everything plays out for sure.
Well, before we wrap up the live portion, I think we have time to kind of do this real quick. Last week we made our NFC predictions, but we didn't make our NFC championship game and NFC champion predictions. Let's kind of get into that, and then on our OT portion that you all can listen to on tomorrow, we'll talk about our AFC prediction. So if you want to go ahead and make your NFC championship game prediction.
This is tough, man. This is a tough one. All right. It's tough to have two picks. You got your heart pick and you got your head pick. You know, your head pick, Andre will go through, is obviously San Francisco and Green Bay for the championship game. And with San Francisco going to the Super Bowl, I know I changed up. And my heart is hoping that somehow Atlanta will be in there, and I'm sure your Saints are going to be in there as well. But my heart is hoping that the Falcons will get a playoff win and do some damage. And Tony Gonzalez's last season, maybe he'll go and we'll go to the Super Bowl and we'll do some damage. So you got two sets of picks, you know, the heart and the head. So my two H&Hs are going off. So Rob, you got about 2 minutes exactly. 2 minutes exactly
right.
To make your pick for the NFC here, and we'll talk about next week as well.
Well, my head and heart is picking the same. It's going to be the Saints and the Packers in the NFC Championship game. The Saints and the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I'm going to say, you know, my prediction is whoever is at home is going to win that game, but I'm going to say the Saints will have the home field advantage in that game and is going on to the Super Bowl. I'm looking at these two teams play. I'm looking at the Giants. There's nowhere that team is better than the Saints. The Saints beat that team 49-24 last season. And I'm looking at this game right now. And even with the adversity, the Saints will be the first team to play in their own stadium for the Super Bowl. So with that being said, America, we're wrapping up our live portion of the show. And if you go back and listen to our archive show from last week, you can hear the rest of our NFC predictions. And on our archive portion tonight, our OT portion, we're going to talk about our AFC predictions. So tomorrow, please listen. You can hear our AFC predictions. You can tweet us. You can send us a message over Facebook if you agree with us or disagree with us. Definitely join us next Wednesday night. We'll be back to recap the first weekend of the NFL, the second weekend of college football. And you can join us at 11 Eastern, 10 Central. We look forward to having you all to join the show with us and call us and, and talk some trash with us.
Yeah, definitely. And please, like I said, hopefully talk about some sleeper teams as well in the NFL, some other things. But, yeah, just see you guys next week. And, like I said, tune in and show some love.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. Good night. All right, we are officially into the OT portion of the show, and Dallas is consistently moving downfield. Looks like Tony Romo and Alec Ogletree are having a nice little game here. So, all the fantasy folks, keep that in mind. Let's jump into it, sir. Let's talk about some AFC predictions, obviously. Very, very interesting whenever you look at some things that the our prognosticators, our pro guys are talking about. But let's jump into this, sir. What you got on your plate? I have an idea where you're going, but, I have an idea what I'm thinking about, too.
At AFC here, let's start off with the AFC East here. I have the New England Patriots continue to win and keep a stranglehold on the division. They still have the best quarterback in the division, Tom Brady, and they picked up some more weapons this year, getting Brandon Lloyd. And, they have two great pass-catching tight ends, Wes Welker. They lose out on Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, but they have a running back by committee approach, Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley. I still like the Patriots. My surprise is my number two pick in this division. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. Didn't play that great in the preseason, but I believe come the regular season here, this team's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to say they're going to make the playoffs, but I can see this team much improved. I can see them around that 8-8, 9-7 mark, just missing out on the playoffs. I think defensively this team could be really strong. And so I look at that team to be second. I know Rex Ryan, he's brash. He talks a lot of trash. I'm a great coach. But they're going to be third in this division. And I actually think bringing Tim Tebow over to this team is going to hurt the chemistry of this team more than help. And I just think that Mark Sanchez's confidence, and he's by far the more capable quarterback, in my opinion. But I think his confidence is kind of hurt a little bit. And with this whole situation, all the media attention that Tim Tebow is getting in New York, I think it's going to hurt the chemistry of that team a little bit. I see them as third in that division. And Miami.
Wow.
Pray for that number one pick because your organization, your football team is awful right now.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough thing, too. And like I said, if you haven't been watching Hard Knocks, it's been a very, very interesting show. And it's kind of neat to see, like, the behind the scenes about this. But like you said, they got a tough road ahead of them. They're probably going to look for drafting their number one receiver or some type of threat to go along with quarterback Ryan Tannehill. So that's definitely probably what they're looking at moving forward, too. But as far as what you have as picking as far as the AFC, we are exactly the same. Obviously the Patriots. So somebody knocks them off, I think they're definitely going to be number one. The Bills are definitely, like you said, I think defense wins championships. They've definitely improved on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think they have enough. Obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick has a lot to prove because last year I think the team started figuring him out. So he's definitely have to evolve. They lost Fred Jackson. They got him back. C.J. Spiller is trying to get that role. I don't know if he's quite ready to make that jump, so it's going to be a lot on him. We'll see how that play out. And obviously you like the electric Stevie Johnson, but, I don't think they have enough as far as that, too. So we'll see how that plays out. Couldn't be 100% right as far as the Jets and bringing on Tim Tebow. It's one of the situations, too, where I know New York is kind of missing that the player that kind of, like, brings a lot of media attention, like, back in the day whenever they had Joe Willie Namath, and there hasn't been a guy like him. So I think the whole thought process behind Tebow is having a guy that can kind of take some pressure off. But I think in the interim, as you mentioned, it's one of the situations where it caused the problem with the team chemistry. They already had chemistry problems before, so here you bring somebody else and you kind of expound upon that, with Santonio Holmes acting up, and the team, having problems with their, Darrell Revis. And it's just kind of like, it seems like there's like a lot of problems with that organization right now. Obviously, I don't know, I'm not inside the organization, but just looking from the outside, you would hope that those guys would, realize that this is all about a team. So, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. And like you said, Miami guys they're going to have a long season. So we're going to talk about who's going to be the worst teams at the bottom with Miami and whether it's Minnesota or Arizona. So sorry, guys, but we'll see how that plays out as far as moving forward with that. And it looks like Dallas has definitely pulled off the upset, beating the Giants 24-17 too. So kudos to our Cowboys fans, everyone that picked against them. They're getting the last lap right now.
Yes, congratulations to the Cowboys on a big opening night victory. Going on the road, 24-17. Moving right along with our AFC predictions here. I know we have about 9-10 minutes left on the show. Let's talk about the AFC North here a little bit. This is a division that I've kind of struggled with as far as predictions is concerned. I know a lot of people still think the Baltimore Ravens are Super Bowl contenders, and I just don't see it that way this year with the Ravens. Could be way off base here. But I actually think the Ravens are going to fall to third place in this division. I think the Bengals will rise up to second. I think the Steelers will barely edge out the Eagles. I'm sorry, not the Eagles, the Bengals for the division title here. I still like the Steelers. I like Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger. And I know they got some running back injury issues here, but Mendenhall and Isaac Redman will get healthy here eventually. And they get Mike Wallace back, getting the weapons. So I still like the Steelers on top. I like the Bengals, too. I like the Ravens, like I said, to fall to number three. And I still think the Browns are going to have some growing pains this year. And I'm not even so sure Brandon Wheaton is the better quarterback on their team. And maybe it's still Colt McCoy, in my opinion. But they're going with Wheaton. I think the Browns finished dead last.
What's wrong with you, man? Brandon's the future, man. He's a mature guy, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's 28 years old, and he's the future. And 29.
I think we're a little bit different here. It's kind of one of the situations, too, where I think the Ravens, I agree with you, they're probably not as strong as they used to be. Defense is definitely getting older, but, they're kind of like, until you knock them off, I think they're still number one right now. This is tight, too. I think the Steelers are still number two. I'm not sure if the Bengals are quite yet ready. Obviously they got a dynamic offense with A.J. Green, obviously, but, they're still a young team, and you have to go through some adversity, I think, before you kind of climb that mountain. So I'm not sure if they're quite yet ready, but I agree with you as far as the Browns. They're definitely in rebuilding mode. I don't know if they have that weapon as far as that big-time receiver just yet, but I like what they're doing. I like what they're building. Obviously, getting Trent Richardson, that was a big move. They have a pretty nice, aggressive young defense as well. And obviously, you got to see what happens with Brandon Whedon. I don't know if he's, one of the franchise quarterbacks just yet, but you're hitching your wagon to him. You're going to do everything you can to make him successful. And we'll see if, like I said, they still have to get that big-time receiving weapon before they become more of a threat.
And moving right along to the AFC South, to this division, in my opinion, is a no-brainer, kind of like the AFC East with the Patriots. I think the Houston Texans may even be
Jaguars.
AFC.
Jaguars.
And
Jaguars.
Yeah, go ahead. the Houston Texans are by far the best team in this division, and I definitely see them pulling this division out. But I will say, though, you mentioned the Jaguars here. I think this is a team that is going to be improving a lot this year. I was very impressed with Blaine Gabbert's development, what I saw in the preseason. And last year, I thought it was looking like he was on his way to being a bust. But from 1 year to the next, he has grown tremendously at the quarterback position. And I guess you got to give Cut the Malarkey the credit. Mike Malarkey obviously got down there and has worked with this guy, and it looks like he's done a tremendous job. I'm not going to quite say they're the second-best team in the division, but I will say this. Jacksonville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, I mean, you can all say those three teams are about equal, and you can all say that they're going to be battling for that second spot, but Houston is by far the winner in this division. I'm going to say Tennessee is going to be second. I'm going to go with Jacksonville third, Indy last.
Pretty interesting, too. I mean, like you said, obviously Houston is probably one of the favorites, and I think they're a favorite representative to go pretty far in the AFC Championship, possibly be a contender in the Super Bowl, too. But we'll see how that plays out as far as if everyone stays healthy for that team. But you definitely know the right on the head. And this is interesting, too, because and I've actually changed my pick. I think originally I would have gone with Jacksonville number three. Like I said, everyone's kind of fighting, but because of the play of Andrew Luck, man, I think it's going to be kind of tight. I think I think they kind of overtake Jacksonville only because of the problems that Jacksonville's been having. Obviously, we know Maurice Jones-Drew is back. Malarkey has a very, very simple game plan. For those that know, you know, obviously being a Falcon fan, we've seen a lot of his work here. So I think he simplified the offense for Blaine Gabbert, which is fine. But he's very predictable. And that's a situation, too, where you hope that he'll kind of change his ways and hopefully he'll learn from the line not to be so predictable that you kind of, like, not utilize all your weapons. Like you said, you know, I think that's kind of the thing. It's kind of depending on if Mike Malarkey has learned, if he's learned from his lessons here in Atlanta to kind of open up that offense a little bit more. And that's going to determine whether they do some things too. But, you know, obviously seeing the play of Andrew Luck, I'm pretty encouraged, and I think that they're not going to be as bad as we think. But still a young season.
And last but not least, the AFC West here, and then we'll get on to our AFC champion and Super Bowl predictions here. And but AFC West, I'm going to go with the Peyton factor in Denver. I believe Denver's going to pull out this division.